Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Diz, a show that gives you everything you need to know to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be in just about 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jeff Coviello. With me each week is Disney Master Sandy from Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services. Sandy, how are you this week?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. We are excited for this evening because we are celebrating a very big milestone for us. Tonight is our 200th show.
I can't believe we're there, and it's a little surreal. It kind of seems like we just started this yesterday, but it's closing in on 4 years. I am so thankful to you, Jeff, for this idea, for having me every week, and for all our great listeners who listen every week, interact with us on social. It's really the highlight of my week, getting to share what I'm passionate about.
Well, and let's be fair, almost 4 years of anything is a long time. It doesn't feel like a long time. You're right. It feels like we just kind of kicked it off. But 4 years is a pretty long time, and we're approaching that anniversary for us. And 200 is a nice round number. So rather than say 4 years, we're kind of celebrating the 200th show. And a lot of what we do here and what we say in the beginning is to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be. But the reality is we thought it would be kind of a neat twist, kind of a funny twist, a way to kind of poke fun at ourselves a little bit, to highlight some of the things that we've done on our Disney vacations that weren't exactly perfect.
They weren't. And it was definitely a think back moment for me when we were brainstorming about how to celebrate this occasion. I said, you know, let's do it. Let the listeners laugh at us, with us. Some of them are memories that definitely will always hold a place in my heart. They describe where my life was at the time and how things were going, but some of them are definite fails that I hope none of you ever live with.
Well, and you know that somewhere someone will hear at least one or more of these not so perfect instances and go, oh yeah, I've been there. That's happened to me. And hopefully that, you know, like you said, people can learn from it and not repeat our mistakes. But where do you want to begin tonight?
I'm going to begin with what isn't my mistake, but is one that I've laughed at. So okay. If you're fans of the show, The Middle and the Heck Family, all the way back in 2014, season 5, episode 24, they got the perfect Disney fail, which is not understanding Walt Disney World versus Disneyland. Patricia Heaton bought tickets for Disneyland, showed up at Walt Disney World, and you're going to have to watch this episode to appreciate it. But it was shortly after they had introduced, you know, magic bands, and they get to the gate and they can't scan their tickets. And I'm sure you can all picture this with me. You know, the cast member raises her hand and the person with the iPad and the plaid outfit comes over from guest services to try and help her. And, you know, the cast members are just so kind. And she's saying, I'm awfully sorry, miss. Those are for Disneyland in California. We're in Walt Disney World. And she's just not getting it. And so the cast member again says, see, watch those people. They scan and the machine goes beep. That's how we know they can get in. And you can picture Brick now listening to this intently. And Patricia turns to the family and says, come on, let's show them we can do it. Ready? Everybody scan. And they each scan their ticket and go beep, beep, beep. And she's trying to convince them that that's the machine making the noise instead of her own family. And they should be let into the park. So epic fail number one would be arriving on the wrong coast, which thankfully, I have never done, but I assure you, you will laugh till you cry if you watch the Hex attempt this.
Well, I can tell you with 100% honesty, I have been a part of a traveling party where that has happened. Right when we had purchased our own Disney Vacation Club, this is going back 15, 16 years at this point, we took a bunch of our friends on a trip to Walt Disney World. And it was my friend Dave's first trip to Walt Disney World. And there were 8 of us.
Wait, now we just lost a listener. Dave's never listening again now that we've called him out. Go ahead.
Dave's aware he never lives this one down. And 6 of us get into the Animal Kingdom on the first day. And we're wondering where are Dave and Cheryl? Why are they not here? And so eventually they get inside the park and Cheryl looks at us and says, my husband is a moron. He bought tickets for Disneyland. And I quote, as the cast member said, California isn't open yet. So it's not just reserved for TV. It's reserved for real life as well. Dave, thank you for that memory. And I'm glad it was a fail for on your end and not on my end. So that's definitely one of my personal experiences. Give us some of yours.
My first two are quite a long time ago. So I'm going to set the scene. They both kind of start the same way. I've been divorced a little over 20 years ago. If any of you are single parents out there, you can relate to money being tight. And while I didn't necessarily want to go to Disney without my child, my ex-husband lives out of state. He would get custody 1 week a year. And I just wasn't sure how I would stay home for that. And so I decided the only place that might get me out of that funk was going to Walt Disney World. So the very first time I went was the horrendous hurricane summer where we had Francis and Jean right in a row. And, you know, I booked the cheapest flight I could get, which meant I was getting in at 11 o'clock at night. And I thought, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night. By the time I pick up my bags and everything, I'm going to stay off-site to save money and then move to my on-site resort the next day. So, you know, I land a little after 11 o'clock, even though I wasn't sure that Florida was even going to be open. I was one of the first flights back into the airport. I pick up my rental car. I'm making my way down 417. I know I have to exit at Orange Blossom Trail to get to my hotel. And as I'm approaching that exit on the highway, there are barricades and blinking lights. And not like police car kind of blinking lights. Like, they have closed the exit. There is just nothing.
Sure.
And there's a nice big blinking sign a few feet further that says, exit closed due to flooding. So I keep going because what else are you going to do? I get off at the next exit. I call the phone number that I have for the hotel. And of course, nobody answers. So now I call the hotel 800 number who says, we don't even know if they're open or not. I was asking if there was a different way to go. This was when GPS was kind of that little Garmin that you hung in your window.
Sure.
And again, newly divorced, I don't have money for a lot of these things. That's why I did this. I decided I was on my own. It's now almost 1 o'clock in the morning. I can check in at my hotel at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm just going to find somewhere to park in my car and sleep in my car. One of my definite better ideas.
Sure. So, I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
And before I do that, I decide that I will call Disney on the off chance that Wilderness Lodge wasn't sold out. Maybe they'd let me in at 1 o'clock in the morning. And so I called and they said, no, it's sold out, but we have hurricane displacement rates over at Coronado Springs, but we can't book you there. You have to go and see, you know, talk to somebody at the front desk, tell them everything you just told me, and they will take care of you. I debated whether I could scrape the money together to do that. I will say it has left me with one of my favorite stories of bizarre travel people in the world, because I did get there at about 1:30 in the morning. I stood in line behind some very nice stranded pilots that I spoke to. And it's 1 o'clock in the morning, so the front desk only had one or two people. And we're all listening to this guy getting louder and louder with the cast member, who apparently...
Never a good start.
It had been a long travel day for him. He was delayed by 6 hours due to the storm and the flights. But he was explaining to the cast member that he had requested a very specific room number. And the cast member had told him that wasn't where he was assigned, but they could move him there tomorrow, that there was somebody else in the room right now. Well, because he had asked for the room number, he clearly knew what number he expected. And he told her that he was going to go wake them at 1:30 in the morning and tell them that that is his assigned room. It was interesting as those of us waiting online watch this madness unfold till he was nicely escorted to his car by security. I'm not sure what happened to him after that, but I did get a very good rate for my first stay at Coronado. I've had many there since. And I did sleep in a bed instead of my car, as I really, the longer I thought about that, the less I thought I was making a good choice, even in the most magical place on earth.
There you go. There you go. Any other that come to mind?
My second, again, is also a bad hotel story. I was trying to save money on another late flight in, and I was staying at somewhere that was just 5 minutes from Animal Kingdom. I thought it would be great. And somehow, this was many years ago before I was a travel agent, I missed that they were a long-term stay hotel. I shouldn't say I missed that. I knew they were a long-term stay hotel, but I didn't realize that that meant that the front desk closed at 6 o'clock at night and didn't open until 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh boy.
So when I arrived at 11 o'clock at night, the lobby
home
was
at the end.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting experience. So really, lesson learned, offsite hotels, just not worth it.
Well, and to be fair, now that this is your livelihood, it's not something that you tend to do all that often. Right now, your relationship with Disney is such that when you're there, you're typically on property.
We don't. And also, again, if we're going back 20 years ago, the number of resorts and the different price points as readily available as it certainly is today.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Which is why it's now more accessible for as many people as it is, which is a good thing. So for me, I think aside from the story that is so eerily similar to what somebody wrote a television episode about that maybe we should sue for royalties. I think the things that come to mind for me as far as like actual typical failure would be really after we've had kids. And it's the type of thing where if you've ever spent any amount of time in Central Florida, specifically Walt Disney World, you know that there's a couple things you can always count on. And one of which is a completely unexpected, but always should be expected rainstorm in the middle of the day.
Doesn't matter that the weather forecast doesn't show any rain all week.
It means absolutely nothing what the weather forecast don't do. And so as somebody who's traveled there for my entire life, this is something that my wife and I, who I'd like to think are two reasonably intelligent, educated individuals, would know. So we go there for the first time that we've got, you know, our daughters before our son was born. And you know, we've got the stroller over at the stroller parking at Epcot, and we walk into the Seas with Nemo and we do the ride, and she's really intrigued by all the stuff. And then we get into the aquarium and we're walking around. It's an opportunity for the small child. She's not a baby anymore. She can walk, but she's walking around, and it's a space to get some energy out. And then we get to that lovely gift shop at the end. And what do we see? It's pouring. and it's not just a quick shower. It is pouring. And it's not quite hurricane weather as you experienced in your story, but it is not light and it is not ending. And our stroller, if you've been in this situation where I am, you know that it's not right there. It's not something you can run to and quickly cover and make sure it doesn't get wet without getting completely drenched yourself.
I was going to say, even if you could run to it, it's too late.
But of course, what did I do as the new parent? I ran to the stroller myself and threw on the rain sleeve that we had for the stroller that's already completely saturated with the Florida midday rain, and then went back and stood under the overhang with about five other families, but now just completely drenched myself and just looking at my wife and my daughter like, how stupid could we possibly be? Because we know it's happening. But the reality is this, when you're traveling there for the first, second, third time, or even the 100th time with small kids, sometimes your brain just checks out from things like that. And you forget that regardless of what you do, you should put that hood up on the stroller, even if you don't put the rain gear on, just to kind of keep that seat from getting wet so that your kid doesn't have to sit in it. So I think of that often. Every time we go into an attraction with strollers without those hoods up on those seats, I'm like, somebody, it may come back at any moment to a very wet seat.
Well, and I will tell you, here's the other debate that we have that kind of falls under the fail category. Once you've run out and you're soaked, do you stay standing under that overhang for a little while longer? Or do you say, the hell with it, I'm soaked. Let me just get somewhere because maybe there's not a line for the next attraction, the bus, whatever it is. But I do look around and go, you know, I'm standing here trying to stay dry. I'm already soaked.
Yeah. Well, that works if your whole party is wet. Not so much if only dad is wet. Because then it's just deal with it, dad. You're going to stay wet and we're all going to be dry. So any other fails for you?
We had an almost fail. So you've probably all heard me talk about being a very last minute packer. I have a girlfriend who starts packing 2 weeks in advance of a trip. If I'm going internationally, I go all out. I'll pack about 3 days prior. But with the amount of travel that I do, quite frankly, packing for me, depending on my flight time, means the last load of laundry is going in at 11 o'clock at night into the washer. It's going into the dryer at 5 a.m. I'm finishing some work things and gathering some things first thing in the morning. You know, my stuff is not in my suitcase till sometimes 3 hours prior to the flight. I am not an early bird. and so there was the trip where I went to put everything where I thought into the bag and had no birth certificate for my daughter. Weren't going to be able to cruise. So thankfully it was not an early morning flight because 11 o'clock at night, as I put the stuff in the washer and then thought I knew exactly where I had the birth certificate in a very safe spot, and it wasn't there. I went to bed, decided I'd get up and deal with it in the morning. And from there, when it wasn't there in the morning, I threw the clothes in the dryer. And thankfully, my daughter was born near where we still live. So stay
and get another copy.
20 minutes away to pick up a new birth certificate. So definitely planning ahead is a big thing.
And those things are such, like, the travel specialist forgets daughter's birth certificate for cruise. Like, of course, that would be what your trip would be. What else do you got? You got one more?
You know, I think it's really some of my packing tips come from experience. I used to be somebody who, especially when my daughter was younger, and so you've got the stroller and you've got the diaper bag and you've got all of those things, I used to put as much as I didn't need into my checked bag. And again, lesson learned, I now always travel with a change of clothes and a pair of pajamas for everybody in my carry-on. Even when I'm going just for a day flight and I'm supposed to be back, luggage is just an unknown and I don't want to spend the time or the money and I'm not easy to fit. So if I can always have a spare outfit with me, that's a win. And my other big tip that I always give people is every time I get new eyeglasses, my last pair that I got goes into my car in case I need them in the car. Sure. And the pair that's in the car moves to my carry-on bag so that if I'm traveling and my glasses break, I have a backup instead of spending all of that time out getting something done.
Well, and little things like that, they seem extraneous, but they're not. I mean, I can tell you, as somebody who's married to a person who lost one contact in the middle of a marathon and didn't have any way to replace it, little things like that do go a long way, that at least when you're done with whatever activity you're doing, you can see, you know? So I think it's certainly sound advice, but we're coming to the end of our program. So I guess I'm going to ask you, really, how can we frame these fails or near fails for folks to hope that they have a better experience? What's your last bit of advice?
I'm going to go with two because you told me one more and I can't only do one more. Okay. One is definitely understanding your dates. both through family members and through clients, I've had people arrive at the hotel on the wrong day. Pay attention to what you've booked and what flights you've booked. And when you're traveling, crossing time zones, you might have to leave on a different day than your vacation starts. Make sure you get to the airport on the right day. That's a big one. But I think for me, unless I'm traveling alone, my number one tip to not having vacation fails, I hate to say it, is lower your expectations. You've read, you've planned, you know how everybody should do, but kind of like you just said, Jeff, maybe you get wet, maybe people are tired, maybe you had this great thing planned, you had a fireworks cruise and it rains, so you still got to ride around in the boat, but there were no fireworks. It's really setting yourself up for success by not having those perfect things in mind, really taking things in the moment and enjoying who you're with more than what you're doing.
Well, and I'll take it a step further. And this, maybe you may or you may not agree with this, because you plan people's vacations, I know, very detailed at moments. My suggestion that we've followed in my family, and maybe it's because we get to go back so often, is try not to overplan. Try not to plan every imaginable second of your day, because I think it does set up some unreasonable expectations that you're going to be able to check every bit of it off. And I think that we get into the point, especially in today's world, where so many things are scheduled. And here's my soapbox. The app makes you want to schedule so many different things. And if you expect to get through all of them, when you miss that one or two things that you have, you may go home talking about how you missed the one or two things instead of the 10 or 12 things that you did that were excellent.
I definitely agree with you. We generally have 3 to 4 things planned for a client. And one of those is, which park are you going to and where are you eating dinner? Mm-hmm. I always say, you know, let each kid pick their top 2 things for the week so that you know you got those in. One thing that I am really excited about is we know that we're about 9 painful weeks away from them removing park reservations. And one of the things that I love to do, and I encourage my families who have been many times to do, is take a day where you go with whatever transportation arrives first.
Yeah, I like that too.
That day where you can truly go with no expectation and be spontaneous, it creates a lot of extra fun in my mind. So I'm glad that's coming back.
Well, I appreciate you sharing some of your not so successful exploits over the last 20, 30 years. I know that some of mine are not exactly our proudest moments, but they certainly are memories, as we talk about at the end of every show. I appreciate your candor. I appreciate your laughter. And I am very appreciative of the last 200 shows. Thank you for coming on each week. Thank you for this week. And I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. I love that you let me make magic in this way.
And that's a wrap this week on Let's Talk Diz. If anyone you know could benefit from this or any show, please share on your Facebook and Instagram for other Disney fans to enjoy. And don't forget to reach out to the folks at Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services for any Disney destination planning. Make it a great week. And as always, keep making memories.